Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me always Christopher William. I'm Glasson. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Bit cold. Got pissed on this morning. Not in the golden shower way, just out in the rain, having a fucking miserable time. So no, not in a good mood. What's wrong with you today?
Nothing.
No?
It's been snowing here. It's been snowing.
Yeah, I've heard Essex is snowing, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, so a little bit. I mean, the sun's out now. It's fucking freezing and the heating's broke in my car.
God.
So, yeah, mixed reviews of Friday so far. I've got to stand outside the toothbrush for 5 hours in minus one tonight.
What? That's fucking made my shit. Whole day just feel so much better knowing that you've got to do that.
I was meant to be going, I'm going to Norfolk tomorrow. I was going to take the camper. Because there's a big party and there's no room in the house. Well, that's what they've told me. And so I was like, just take your van, stick it on drive and keep me now. I was like, yeah, wicked, definitely. I was driving in this morning. I was like, fuck that.
No way.
I've managed to find a hotel like where the party is for 56 quid. So I was like, probably would have spent that on petrol anyway. So fuck it. Gonna have a little hotel
what sort
room
of party
for myself.
Is it, what are you going to?
Never you mind about what party I'm going to in that hotel room afterwards.
Yeah, I bet.
Very sexy one. Speaking of sexy, we should shout out our sponsors, Sexy Sai.
Sexy
Sai. If you want to learn martial arts, you want to know how to, on a cold day, literally smash someone's skull like it's an icicle, you just need to learn martial arts. And you can do that by going to Southern Martial Arts. Once you've accomplished that, you know how to kill people, then why not start up your own class? And you can also teach other people how to kill people. You can do that at Southern Martial Arts. Go follow that on the socials. They're always tagged in our posts.
Yes.
Go give them a follow. Go give them a like. And yeah, go learn some martial arts.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Someone else who's killed a lot of people is our other sponsor, Justin Price. Mm. How many people has he got under his patio?
I'm not sure. I'm not being funny. I think if there was a big hole in his garden at one of his house parties, I think a lot of people would probably get to about 2 a.m. and just throw themselves in the hole anyway, because he's at a fucking different level of fucking doing your head in at
so
that
we're
point.
Going on. We're going to go on to Say What podcast, I hear, in the start of January, right?
Apparently
what's
so.
What a wonderful thing. It's been highly anticipated. I can't wait to get on there. I love Justin. I think he's a wonderful human being. I haven't met Tony yet. So I'm looking forward to meeting him and, just being an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
But yes,
well,
if you haven't heard the Say
year.
What podcast, it's this but worse, would you say?
Yeah, yeah. Imagine if someone just smoked a load of weed and then done this. That's that.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good if you like shit things.
Yeah.
The Say What podcast, Justin Price, Big Papa J.
Yeah. I mean, that's in the new year, but before that, we've got Christmas. And the thing that comes with Christmas is Christmas hits. Ooh. And today's guest is no stranger to them. It's
no stranger.
We got Comeback on. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm no stranger. And you said don't be a stranger. So here I am again.
Who back. Done If Only for Tonight, Don't Be a Stranger?
I danced to that at many school discos.
Last week. That says it all, doesn't it? You said you danced to that at school discos. Yeah. I had slow dance. Oh, I probably had one slow dance to that at Pizzazz.
Oh, God.
Dina Carroll. There you go.
Dina Carroll. Yes.
Absolutely.
Cunt, welcome back, mate. Have you literally, it feels like it wasn't that long ago since we had you on. It's not been like a whole year, has it? And I've like a year's passed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's happened is we all get older and then the years go quicker.
Mate.
And it feels like less time in between me coming back on your podcast.
Cunt, it really does.
It's just Christmas signal.
That's how, yeah, pushing another. What is it? Is that what you're here to plug this time, cunt? Is it another low-hanging fruit? Like, Boris is a prick.
Who's
Doris,
upset you now,
cancer,
Alan?
Cancer. Oh, cancer shit. We can all, if you agree, cancer shit, buy my record. Is that what this one is, mate?
No, that was in the ideas poll, but that got rejected at the final hurdle. No. There's something different this year, Chris, actually. I don't know whether Stu's briefed you on it, but I'm not doing a Christmas single this year because, you know, obviously the last few years, the campaign's been quite negative and complaining about things. So what I wanted to do this year...
Necessary, but yeah, I get it. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fucking shit, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been really fucking shit. Mm. And we're not out of that shit this yet, but, you know, I just wanted to do something with a bit more of a positive message, but I couldn't really think of any ideas. And then I heard a song by this band, The Crackpots. They're a mystery band. No one knows who's behind it.
Right.
Great. Like Banksy or Kendo Nagasaki.
Mysterious. Yeah. So you ain't got a clue who the Crackpots are then, basically. It's all top secret. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Nobody knows. And this band, The Crackpots, have done this song, Proper Christmas. It's like a love letter to the Christmases of the late 70s, early 80s
Wonderful.
Of our childhood. People our kind of ages childhood, you know. And, it's just a nice, heartwarming, nostalgic Christmas song with a great puppet video that cost a couple of £1,000 that I hope, I'd imagine the band are hoping to recoup.
Wow, they sound really invested in it, and you sound really invested in this band.
Yeah. Well, do you know what?
I've
spoke about it on a few different podcasts, and I know people are getting fed up with me every Christmas coming out like Bob Geldof fronting all the campaigns. You got to download this song, right? Well, this time you got to download someone else's song.
Brilliant.
All about
the creative jump there.
All about the Crackpots issue. You've got to be secure in your own creativity to be able to push someone else's.
Absolutely.
Mm. So, come with a K. How are you spelling the Crackpots if people want to go and find it?
What?
How is he spelling? Do you mean how have they spelled?
I would ordinarily spell Crackpot in the traditional way, C-R-A-C-P-O-C-K-P-O-T. But the Crackpots, spell it with a K.
Those crazy kids. I spelled that with a K.
I suppose it's easy to remember, isn't it? Because the cunts is spelt with a K. Crown Jewels is spelt with a K. Yeah. Cunt and the gang is spelt with a K. And it's easy for you to remember now because the Crackpots have taken a leaf out of our book and they've spelt the Crackpots with a K.
Is that four Good Ks? On. Is that one better than the KKK? The KKKK. Yeah. Excellent.
That's like three blokes all done up in pillowcases with their new little recruit who's joining the gang. He ain't allowed his own Zippo yet. He's just got a box of safety matches.
Well, I'd like to hear more about the Crackpots. And you know what, mate? We have had... Yeah, you can sort of like just get down in the dumps about it all. And actually that nostalgia, when you said that, I mean, early 80s, I mean, my memories of my Christmases were just bollocks, you know, the tinsel, the tragic decorations, the blue tack that was going to forever stain the ceilings of everything. And that's cool with me. And like, you know, even when I see little blue tack spots in people's houses now, I'm like, Christmas.
The nostalgic greasy spot of Christmas.
Mine was a bit different. Mine, you had to have like industrial thumbs because we didn't use blue tack. We used drawing pins, and you'd have to push them into that old 80s Artex in the wall. Anyway, look, as we've mentioned, Christmas is just around the corner. We've been discussing the Crackpots We're presuming it's going to be a big hit. So I'm presuming while you're, you know, enjoying talking Christmas records, your top five is going to be something along those lines.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Well, what I was going to do was, on hearing that Lad Baby, the Sausage Roll Man, has retired from the Christmas number one. He's retired from the Christmas number one game. At the height of his powers, after five Christmas number ones, he's quit at the top.
Yeah.
I was going to do the top five shittest Christmas number ones of all time. But I didn't know which one of Lad Baby's to leave out for Mistletoe and Wine.
I can't believe that fucking knobhead ain't fucking in the studio right now doing Fairy Tale in New York.
Oh, do you know what?
He'll be back next year for it, I know.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Do you know what? I wouldn't rule it out, but they showed... They did a big piece on the official charts website about, you know, all these Christmas chart number ones. And then they right near the bottom, they put the sales of each one. And the one last year sold something like, it was like 64,000 or something, which was half as many as the year before. So, you know, it's the law of diminishing returns. You can't go on forever, can it?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to because... He must have a good job because I know before, you know, he must have got a new job when he was doing them singles because over the time that he's done them singles, he's made over £1 million, I believe, companies as would attest to.
He's become a millionaire whilst doing...
making charity records?
Whilst doing stuff for charity. He's become a He's coincidentally become a millionaire. Him and his wide-mouth wife are a pair of millionaires. Who knew? Because normally when you do stuff for charity, you don't end up with a great big spa on the back of your house. But, you know...
If you do it the right way, apparently you do.
It can happen these days. Yeah. The two benevolence and personal gain are no longer at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, look, we've been going for 10 minutes and you've already cunted off Lad Baby a few times. What's going to be today's top five then?
Well, that's fair. I'm not going to spend this whole Christmas cunting off Lad Baby because I've decided in backing the back crackpots with their Proper Christmas song that you can find details out about at properchristmas.info.
Oh, BorisJohnson.info, I remember the cunts used.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? Life would only be weird if there were no coincidences.
Correct.
So I thought in this new positive train of thought that I'm in this Christmas, I'd go for the top five great non-festive Christmas number ones.
Because
we already done top five Christmas number ones, didn't we, another time?
Yes.
And top five pastry-based products last year, I think we done. So top five non-festive Christmas number ones.
Nice top five, mate. What's your number five?
Right, number five, Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall.
That's not a festive song, is it?
No. No, none of them are. That's what the list's about.
She'll get it by the number one.
He's like,
I see the correlation.
Is this in your notes and you're going to say that every time? I would argue there's nothing less festive than a teacher getting his students and putting them through a mincer.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you say brick in the wall, you picture that video of them kids being put in that mincer.
Yeah.
Horrible.
What year was that, cunt? Can you remember? Roughly?
I did have to have a look, so I wasn't sure whether it's 78 or 79. But I definitely remember this as a kid, that the kids going through the mincer, and it was 79.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an image, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely fucking remember seeing that on Top of the Pops. I can't believe that they would show that on Top of the Pops, you know, because of how careful... But, I mean, is that just putting that nowadays values on it? You'd never see that nowadays.
I'd say it's a bit of that, mate, definitely. I think it's
a bit of that. The BBC and Top of the Pops, I think all the time they're saying fucking to teachers to leave them kids alone. It's taking the eyes off of other people that should have been leaving them kids alone.
Announcing the number one, probably.
That's a really good point. Fucking hell. Yeah, if we knew what we know now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oi, presenters, leave them kids alone.
Yeah. number one.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah. Oh, but let's not start fucking naming Nancy's again.
We'd be here all day, wouldn't we?
Do you like Brick in the Wall?
Do you know what? I do really fucking like it. I wouldn't say I'm the world's biggest Pink Floyd fan. I could probably name like less than half a dozen of their songs.
Mm.
But yeah, I do really like that. I don't know whether it's a kind of nostalgic thing. I just like it. I think it's a really good record.
It felt a bit sort of dangerous as a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think just that because it's a heavy sounding song, isn't it? And like, just Summer Shan, Hey Teacher, Leave Them Kids Alone. I mean, when you're a kid, it was just like, fucking hell. It was like fucking Grange Hill on fucking Angel Dust,
wasn't
it?
Morose,
it was like
the whole song, isn't it, really? Mm. It's pretty, yeah, drab, really, the message.
Yeah. We don't need no education. We don't need no, is it mind control or thought control?
Dark sarcasm in the classroom.
In the classroom, yeah.
Oi, tarmac, leave them kids alone.
Yeah, it's a fucking cracker, that is. Do you like it, Chris?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like a bit like, kind of like, I like Pink Floyd. I've gone through a little, you know, like I went through a Doors phase, and like then, I'd struggle to then just start reading off all the tunes.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You would have been whacked out your fucking head when you was listening to Pink Floyd, wouldn't you, Chris?
No, mate. I was off the gear. I was off the stuff by that point. No, I was, yeah. Like, I can barely remember those years. But, yeah, Pink Floyd, Brick in the Wall, I don't remember it in my youth at all. Like, if it was getting played, it wasn't, like, my ears weren't pricking up. So it weren't until well into my 20s, really, I was more into Pink Floyd. And yeah, no, it's a dope song. I didn't know, cunt. I had no idea that was a Christmas number one, though, mate.
I didn't.
No, I mean, I don't know if I did. If I'm honest, I just went and looked at a list of a list of Christmas number ones, and that was. I remember it being number one, but I don't think I remember it being number one at Christmas. Because like 1979 would have been when I first started watching Top of the Pops, and I don't have massive memories of lots of stuff from them, but there's certain things that I know I saw as a kid then, you know, because they definitely that kid, the teacher sticking the kids through the mincer and the cartoon hammers kind of walking along, and the teacher kind of turns into an hammer and kind of wax her nail, doesn't it? But apparently, while sort of reading up about it, it's like a metaphor for government's control over the people.
Figures. No.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't do that metaphors. I just thought it was like a construction song.
I thought it was just about a bit of an annoying teacher.
Yeah. Right. I thought it was about nonces and building a wall, but, you know, whatever.
Building a big... I've long said they should do that, is put all the nonces on the Isle of Wight and just build a big wall around it.
Who are they going to nonce? They're going to try and get out.
This is the thing. I think any kids that get expelled from school and are problematic in society, they have is they have a big, like, you know, like a big kind of soft play bouncy castle in the middle. Yeah. And any kids that are problematic, they just fly them over on a helicopter, release them onto the bouncy castle, and then all the Nazis are just running up in their pants and vests with all stains down the front, pastry stains and that, just like trying to get there first.
Comb overs, 70s comb overs. Wow, it's a bit like Escape from LA, but yeah, Escape from LA, but very noncy. Or Escape from New York.
Yeah. Wow. Escape from cows.
What's at number four, mate?
At number four is, and I've struggled with the top four because they're all kind of, any one of them could have been number one.
Mm-hmm.
But number four, I've got the Human League, Don't You Want Me.
Wow, I didn't even know that was a number one either. That's a favourite of yours, Stu, isn't it, that one?
I knew it was a number one, but I didn't know it was a festive number one.
I mean, it's a really good song, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a great, that's a great, sing-along song, that, in a family do.
Yeah.
Like New Year's Eve, we'd sing that, you know, you'd belt that one out. And, I mean, it's got to be a powerful song. For it to get number one, you know, you're going to be fighting against all the actual Christmas-themed ones. Worthy.
Worthy, yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Is it the best duet ever? Is it a duet?
Yeah, it is a duet, isn't it?
Yeah, even though it's not the Human League featuring the girls, like it is a back and forth song like Fairy Tale of New York, but
as a duet got to be between a bloke and a woman, or can it be between two fellas?
I'm really bad with duets. We did this the other week, and I got fucking panned. So I'm going to leave it to the expert over there, Stu. Can two
fellas do a duet?
Robson and Jerome.
That's just a couple of fellas doing a song, isn't it?
If that's the case, it's thrown my whole understanding of duets out the window. So it's not, they have to be opposite sex.
I don't know.
I think it could be same sex. It's 2023. You wouldn't get away with it now anyway. You'd have to allow it.
What did they do? I Feel Love.
Yeah.
I never think of it as a duet, though. It's more of a collaboration, isn't it? All right, so are you saying if you're going to be two blokes doing a duet, you have to be gay?
That is the rules. I just looked them up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ah, so that's why Robson and Jerome were just a couple of fellas singing a song.
There's nothing going on here. We're just soldiers. That's been a long old tour, though, hasn't it? Lonely nights.
The lines get blurred. Fucking hell. So, welcome back. We've just had to do a quick little edit because Stu's laptop is full of some grubby stuff.
Mucky business,
mucky,
isn't it?
Mucky pup, isn't ya?
So, what do you know about the Crackbox video then?
Oh, so the video to Proper Christmas by the Crackpots is a heartwarming, nostalgic look back at like the old family Christmases via the medium of some puppets.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. So they've had puppets made specifically for it then?
Well, they had puppets made principally to protect the identity of the band so that no one knew who was behind it.
Gotcha. Clever.
As I understand.
As you understand.
And then that kind of became a sort of puppet video. So the video is kind of like all these little suburban vignettes of Christmases gone by with, you know, like mum, dad and the kids doing their Christmas lists and, you know, like all sort of memories of Christmas past, you know, kids leaving out a mince pie and a glass of sherry for Santa and stuff like that. Then the family turn up on Christmas Day, and there's always an uncle who's a cunt, and granddad dozing off in the chair, and the kids wrapping him up with tinsel and sticking a robin in his ear.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All them kind of things.
Oh, lovely.
Did you ever ask them how long it took them to, like, because doing puppets, that must have that's like an extra level of difficulty. If you ask the crackpots how long that, you know, would have taken to film, doesn't sound like a one day shoot. That
no, it was it was two days of shooting with a couple of new friends that they've made recently who make puppets.
Incredible.
And then an extra day of just like little pickups. I know all this because, and I wasn't meant to say anything, but you guys are my mates, and I know the patrons are Hardcore Listing sponsor Miner's Shoes podcast. So I know we're amongst friends, and I wasn't meant to disclose this information, but I did help them out filming the video with some space because I've got this shed at the end of the garden.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of space in there, and the crackpots all came round. I didn't see who they were.
No, of course not.
Because they were wearing masks of like all like grotesque animals. You know, like the videos where there's a load of blokes stood around a little kid. It's a lot. It was sort of like that. But
no, I'm well. Shu just deleted a bunch of his laptop.
A lot. It was a lot less sinister than that. It was just like a bit of fun and a good time.
So the puppet and a guitarist, like what does he look like?
Lionel Richie.
I look forward to seeing that.
Absolutely.
Lionel Richie or you when you're drunk.
Face falling off my head.
Yeah.
Melting
Have
off.
You seen that? I mean, you've referred to me as Droopy a few times, Chris, and it's not gone unnoticed. And But Cunt used to always say that, like, the more drunk I got, my face used to slowly fall off my head.
Just slide off his head until he looked like Lionel Richie. You know, like, it's just right down here. But I think Lionel Richie's had his face pulled back up on his head now.
Mm. Yeah, he looks brand new again.
Oh, I wouldn't say brand new. He looks like a reconditioned Lionel Richie.
Reconditioned leather Part sofa.
what you got at number
three? What's number three?
Number three, and I don't want to make Roy have a little cry here, but it is our song.
Oh.
Ralph Harris, Two Little Boys.
I'll be honest with you, I love that song. Like, my dad used to love that song. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really fucking lovely song, isn't it?
Great, just a great sentiment in it as well. Great last fucking verse. Gets my fucking lip trembling a little bit.
Oh.
I mean, but it's all the stuff that they've built up to before that, because they give you the whole backstory, don't they? Before you kind of get to that.
Absolutely.
And you're already invested in it by then.
Yeah.
It's a shame, isn't it, that it's sung by an evil nonce.
Yeah, I know. Like, when we found out, one of my mates in particular, I'd already found out a bit earlier in the day, and when we told my mate, he was fucking in pieces. Not Ralph! I mean, like, Tom.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Watching that documentary that was on telly like a couple of weeks ago, like, you realise like how horrible he was. Like, because you only see Rolf when he was on, and he was lovely Rolf, and then like you hear all of these people sort of depictions of like what he was doing and his obsession with fame and, you know, and what he'd do to maintaining that. Fucking great. Because I met him once with you, didn't I?
Yeah.
When we was in London. And like, was we just walking along the street and see him?
Yeah, it was round by Leicester Square, wasn't it? We were on our way to the gas club, I think. And he just walked past.
Yeah.
We stopped him. He stopped and spoke to him. And I mean, like, he weren't in a rush to get away, was he? Like, I had a lot of time.
How old was you?
To stop and chat.
But
I would say we were probably... What, 19, 20, 21, but we did have one of our mates who looked like a small boy. Like, Chris looked about 12.
Mm. Maybe that was why he stuck about. Yeah, did you have your twat t-shirt on?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember him pointing and going,
hee,
hee, hee.
Oh dear, we met him, like, serious problem, met him at WH Smith's. He was doing a signing for a book about dogs or pets or something when he was doing his pet stuff on BBC. And we went down there all dressed up and had some pictures with him. And like, He was proper fucking great when he was a kid, wasn't he? Not for them kids, but like for most kids, he was the fucking best thing ever. And it is fucking horrible, isn't it, when like people that, you know, you've grown up watching on the box that you just think are fucking brilliant are just really fucking horrible cunts.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight, isn't it? But when you watch a documentary and you see him kind of, you know that thing where they get hold of a lady's hand and they kiss all up their arm? Like, anyone that does that is a wrong'un.
I think the only person who's allowed to do it is a Gomez from Adam's Family. It's the only, and they were kooky as fuck anyway. It's creepy.
Who does that anymore?
No,
do you think anyone ever done yeah. Have you ever done that, Chris?
No.
Back in your drug days.
It's okay. I don't know about my drug days. They lasted a week. What? Nah, I don't think so. I mean, the wildest thing that I've done.
Walk around a nightclub with your erection poking out of your trousers. Had sex in that nightclub. Like, I'm just thinking some of that pales in comparison to just placing a few tender kisses on an arm.
I guess so, but like none of that feels as creepy as kissing up an arm, if you ask me.
Walking around a nightclub with a full erection poking out of your trousers.
Just keen, mate.
Do you know about this, cunt?
No, this is the first I've heard of it.
Slipped out of my pocket.
Why don't you tell cunt your story?
Just quick, I'll give you the sort of like the speed read version of it.
I might have some questions at the end of it.
In a club, kiss a girl. She's... No, this is a speed read, not
where
the
was it?
One.
Sam's in Brentwood?
Jukes. Kiss a girl. Right. Get dragged away from her. She had a mate with her who I thought, you know, in my drunken state was also smiling at me. I get dragged away from them. I'm dancing with my mates. She at some point goes, oh, I thought you might be gay or something. Then later on in the night, I've had a few more drinks. I ask for my mate's car keys to his full Fiesta because I've made the decision I'm going to have sex with a pair of them. I haven't spoken to them about that yet. I went into the toilet while I thought of, you know, my plan of action on bedding these two lucky ladies. It didn't involve things like kissing up their arms. I wish I had done that now.
I mean, he was highly aroused at this point, wasn't he?
Not yet. I mean, I started getting aroused in the toilet because I remember taking a slash and I didn't have any boxer shorts on. And I remember going, my dick looks quite big today. At that point, it was just like, it just looked probably a little bit of a semi. Didn't think much about it. I started walking around the club trying to find this girl to proposition her. And I guess in my excitement of thinking about what, you know, obviously what was, to my mind, a done deal... I finally met the girl on the stairs of the club by the DJ stand and I said, do you want me to prove I'm not gay? And she grabbed her mate's hand and just ran off.
What? You said, do you want me to prove I'm not gay with your erection sticking out your trousers?
Well, at that point, I didn't know my cock was hanging out my trousers or nor it was erect. And like, as she ran off, I sort of like went, oh, fuck. And I turned around to me mate Mark, who's behind me, and I just put my hands near my crotch and I rubbed against something fleshy and hard and I was like, oh fucking hell, and my cock was happened to be out of my pants.
But you didn't have any pants on, and I think that's half the problem, isn't it? Not wearing pants is where the problem all starts.
Not washing enough pants in the week is where that problem started.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think people that are too sexy for their own good don't wear pants.
The Yorkshire Ripper. He used to wear that V-neck jumper, didn't he?
He did.
So under
do you know
overall,
this, Chris?
No.
He used to wear. They found on him under his overalls a V-neck jumper that he'd fashioned to be upside down on his legs with the V at the front, so that he could just rip his overalls open and it was there ready. Much like happened to you in the nightclub that night.
That is unbelievable.
No good comes from losing a layer between you and the general public.
That is sage-like advice, mate. Thank you. So did the Yorkshire Ripper like invent crotchless knickers then? He's ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He never managed to get his name on the patent.
Oh, fucking hell.
Do you know what? There was something a bit rippery about the start of the Don't You Want Me video. Have you watched it lately?
No, I can't remember
it's a car coming down a lane.
It's Phil's in the motor, isn't he?
No, I don't think it's filming the motor. There's a car comes down the lane, then you see, what's her name? Is it Joanne? The one with the dark hair?
Yeah.
Done up with too much makeup in a fur coat.
The 80s.
And tight in a lane. In a lane.
Yeah.
Then the car pulls over and the door opens.
Yeah.
And you know, you think, oh, hello, is Sutty.
Yeah.
But it's not.
To your disappointment, it weren't.
I mean, I don't think it would have been as big a hit in the charts.
It'd have been very obscure, yeah.
Even that was unacceptable in the '80s.
Yeah,
still,
yeah.
I don't even know if they'd found him by then. 1981.
Number two.
81. Right. What's number two?
Number two. At number two, and this could quite easily have been number one. And the only reason it's not number one is because it's before I was born, so I don't remember it being Christmas number one. It's the Beatles. I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh,
that's good,
man.
Isn't it?
Again, I didn't know it was a number one. That might be my favourite Beatles song. There's a couple of others that sort of like vie for it, but yeah, I fucking love that song, man.
What other ones would
Eleanor
you?
Eleanor Rigby is the other one. That's the one. That's the current one, I would say. That has recently dethroned in the last 5 years has dethroned.
Eleanor Rigby's fucking great. I don't know. I really like We Can Work It Out. I think that's really good.
I mean, We Can Work It Out is as cheerful as Eleanor Rigby is morbid, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Morbid, dour song, isn't it, Eleanor Rigby?
Yeah, it is.
I bought a 7-inch, and it was one of them ones, like in them sort of green sleeves that they reissued, where you get like both sides was like a cracking Beatles song. We Can Work It Out is a double A with Day Tripper, which is another fucking cracker.
Yeah, right.
Absolute
bad. I mean, that's a fucking five-part podcast talking about great Beatles records because there's no shortage of them, is there?
What I like about I Want to Hold Your Hand is it don't muck around, does it? There's about two lines and you're in the chorus.
Absolutely.
And like they had a great sort of comprehensive way of getting, you know, giving you a decent verse, but just getting straight to the chorus.
Yeah. So I've just looked up Beatles Christmas number ones. That was an actual single. We Can Work It Out was the B-side of Day Tripper on the actual release. It was a Christmas number one in 1965. Yeah.
So that was a Christmas number one too?
As was I Feel Fine. Yeah.
Didn't know that either.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
John Moulton knows all this. John's at home going, yeah, I know that. I've got that time frame.
Right.
What are you reading there, Stu?
I'm just looking at some Christmas number ones. I think I know what your number one is, just looking at the list.
I did just want to say something about I Want to Hold Your Hand is kind of, no one does it anymore, do they? Like the world has moved on from holding hands, hasn't it?
A little bit. A little bit.
It's all, Nah, it's all choking and gaping arseholes now, isn't it?
Spitting down that bumhole.
I wonder if in 30 or 40 years people will be going, oh, no one spits on a bumhole anymore.
Nah, what? It'll all go full circle. Everyone's... people will be caught in holding hands again. It all goes
everyone's
full circle.
Everyone's gag reflex will come back.
Can you remember the first time you held someone's hand?
Oh,
not your mum and dad's.
Yeah, yeah. I still hold hands with Molly, which I quite like. Just stop her running off in a public place, usually. I remember going on a date and trying to hold a girl's hand and she weren't into it. And I was just like, I was way too keen. I was like, fucking, what an idiot. Yeah. How about you, mate? Can you remember the first time? Other than your mum and dad's, other than cunts, who else? Used to have held hands. Don't even tell me you
have. We've done a lot more than that. I've spat down his gaping arse a few times.
That's an horrible image, isn't it?
Hurry up, I'm getting cramp. It's only a horrible image because you ask Cunt to hold a fucking mirror by his face so you can watch him do it.
I was filming it anyway. I could have just showed him later.
Why are you waxing your arsehole? Cunt coming over tonight, is he? Yes.
What is he doing there? Nothing.
We're trying to beatbox a hi-hat.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, look, before you get me on number one, have you got any honourable mentions?
Yeah, I have actually. Benny Hill's Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West.
Was it?
That was Christmas number one. But that was in the old days when you could do a kind of, you know, a novelty comedy song and it sort of be all right.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's cracking.
No, not a mention of pastry inside.
No pastries.
It was all dairy goods. See, dairy goods were funny in the 60s.
It's pastry now.
Yeah, it's pastry. It just goes to show, doesn't it? It all goes in cycles, though.
Yeah.
What's 30 years' time, there'll be a Christmas number one about yoghurt.
I've just seen in 1957, Harry Belafonte had a number one with Mary's Boy Child. I did not know that that was a cover.
Was that the same, Mary's Boy Child?
I'm presuming. Like,
that's a catchy song, isn't it? Mary's Boy Child. If you hear that,
I can't even remember that. How's that one go?
Mary's Boy Child.
Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Hark now, hear the angels sing.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Yeah.
I had a little trip down a Boney M hole when I was...
back to holes.
You need to watch that on YouTube to get the benefit while we're laughing.
I'm just spitting down a Boney hole.
Do you like Boney M? Have you heard? I don't know. Are you allowed to say Brangirl in the Ring anymore? I don't know. That's
a niche porn site,
right? Have you heard that lately?
No, I haven't heard it lately. I was sick to death because I always used to play that in mobile discos.
Yeah, right. It's fucking great.
I think lots of this. So I would never say I like Boney M, and I would never go and listen to Boney M. But whenever I hear any of them, they're just really, fuck, they're really melodic and well constructed and just nice sounding pop songs.
Daddy Cole's fucking great.
They've got loads of them. Rasputin is quite urgent and purposeful, isn't it?
I remember that sort of scared me. Like Pink Floyd's Brick in the Wall.
Yeah.
Hearing like Rasputin, it was on some compilation my mum and dad had. I remember thinking like, and my dad sort of telling me a bit about Rasputin. And I was thinking, Jesus, like he sounds fucking terrifying. He was Russia's greatest love machine. Like, he sounds fucking great.
That melody as well, that
Yeah.
It's kind of, sort of slightly sinister, Tetris-y kind of melody, isn't it?
And you had the bloke from Boney M just doing weird kind of like dancing, like in like a kind of with a fake beard on. It looked really fucking odd. Like,
and he didn't sing any of the vocals, did he, the bloke? I think the bloke's vocals were all done by the producer.
That's right. He was. He didn't actually sing on anything, apparently, that bloke from Boney M. He had a nice little number, didn't he?
Well, he'd just turn up, mime along, and then nail all the birds.
Yeah. Happy days in the ring. Other little honourable mentions. I remember... I definitely remember my mum and dad buying Mullican Tie Bar Wings. And I remember like that being on a lot at home. I haven't
Sorry,
heard that
what was that?
Years.
It sounded like a takeaway order.
Like Mullican Tire. I believe it was where Macca ended up living in Scotland when he settled down with Linda.
Got you.
I hate Mullican. I always hated Mullican Tire. Have you got kind of nostalgic feelings for it then with it being interlinked with your family memories?
I don't think I've heard it probably since then. I remember there being like a bagpipe solo at the end, like, well, not a solo, but like a load of fucking bagpipes chiming in.
Is there a worse instrument than the bagpipes?
Oh, I don't mind a piper.
Really?
Oh, whenever I hear them, I just want to ram them up whoever's playing them's arsehole. and that'd be pretty easy because they've got one layer less, like Chris in the nightclub that night.
Oh, fucking hell. And then Mary's Boy Child went to number one for Boney M in 78. Right. 1980. Chris, you won't... I don't know if you remember this.
Of course I will. I was zero.
School choir. There's no one quite like Grandma. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not that year. I was like 2 months old, but yeah.
100%
You bought that for your nan, didn't you?
Yeah.
I bought
Granddad by Clive Dunn for my granddad.
Don't say that,
oh, like, suck up.
Yeah.
I remember sort of sitting there just like whilst my nan was getting a bit teary listening to Grandma, we love you. I remember thinking like, I'm fucking great.
You thought you were gonna get a big fat. That wasn't altruistic, was it?
No, you were
planning a fucking pool in the back of your house.
Absolutely. Oh, fucking hell. Flying Pickets, we've got to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you two can. You might as well be making these up now.
No, Flying Pickets, you all know it.
You know that. You know Yazoo's song, Only You?
Oh, yeah.
It was done by a male in their 40s. And dressed up in donkey jackets and stuff, like a cappella style.
Yeah.
And you know, bada, 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 bada,
bada. Oh, man, that, I'm struggling
Only
with that
Use
one.
A fucking perfect record.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the main singer from The Flying Pig, he's become an actor, and he's in, he was the sort of one of the lead characters in Twin Tan. Remember Twin Tan, Chris?
Yeah.
Reese Iphens, like, about the fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
In Wales. Yeah, you
know the bold one.
Yeah,
I think was he called Spike?
Fucking hell, he looks terrifying. I'm looking at pictures.
Oh, he's proper Hills Have Eyes, isn't he?
Mate, honestly, Hills Have Eyes. He's got it all over him. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I went to see Terry Edwards one time. I suppose this must have been like late 80s, early. I think it was probably like early 90s at the Crypt in Deptford, which was like this little venue under a church. And he was in a support act that were kind of like poets with all this kind of weird music going on. And he had leggings on and he wasn't, sorry, this is very on topic for this podcast today, but he wasn't wearing any pants underneath. And you could see the full outline of his shaft and bell end. And I've got to say, it was a reasonable size.
That's why I did it.
He needed a pan, especially if you're getting up performing. It was distracting from what he was trying. I don't remember any of his poems, but I remember that. I remember the shape of his cock.
Look at it, he's stalk.
Spike Stalk.
That difficult second album. What's your number one?
My number one is, can you guess what it is?
I can, yeah.
I've got maybe. Maybe, yeah. But, yeah, go on.
Do you want me to say?
Go for it.
It is the Pet Shop Boys always on my mind.
I didn't have that. So, yeah, fair enough. Oh, great shot. Great tune. I'm not the biggest Pet Shop Boys fan. I know Stu is, and clearly you are, cunt.
I'm a fucking enormous Pet Shop Boys fan. I just think they had sort of they had disco influences and obviously like the synth pop stuff and like Italo House influences.
Yeah.
But the Pet Shop Boys couldn't have come from anywhere apart from England. They're just so, their music is so English in its, you know, in every fucking fibre of its makeup. And I just love that. I love that about them. And I love the sort of the dry humour. But I also think, you know, they make clever music, but it's still got a real heart and, you know, and passion to it. It's not cold and dry and and distant. I just really like their stuff, and I think they write fucking cracking songs. And I think through their Imperial period, then, you know, probably like the first three albums, they wrote, you know, like probably like half a dozen out of my, you know, top 50 songs ever. That I just really, really fucking love.
That's amazing.
Them.
I mean, this song's it's beautiful. This song, lovely lyrics, and I definitely softened some.
They didn't write it, did they? Oh no, it's an
Elvis song.
Oh, is it? Oh, of course it is. Fucking idiot. Yeah,
it's an absolute fucking banger. And it's like, how do you take that kind of ballad and like, as soon as you add that ba da 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 da, it's just fucking epic. Like, I mean, they finish with that quite a lot. I know when they've done Glastonbury, they finish with that, and it sounded fucking amazing. Like, what a fucking tune. What's your favourite Pet Shop Boys lyric?
I don't know, actually. The one that always springs to mind is, it's not my favourite song, but there's a lyric in So Hard that says, I'm always hoping you'll be faithful, but you're not, I suppose. We've both given up smoking because it's fatal, so whose matches are those? And I think, like, if you want to talk about, like, dishonesty and mistrust in a relationship, they've said it all with just a really small thing and said it really eloquently.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking great. Yeah. That's a fucking
top shirt. Go on in, Shu. What's yours?
Oh, yeah, anything on Rent. The whole of the lyrics to Rent fucking just fucking break me in half. I think
I love Rent. I think that might be my favourite.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Rent, Chris?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, if you guys want to give me a little sample of it, though.
You definitely know it. Like, of course, I love you pay my rent. It was a big, big hit. Oh, it's fucking great, Rent.
Yeah, I probably do, but yeah, it's not coming straight to my head. As I say, like, I think just you browbeating me about Pet Shop Boys over the issues made me soften my opinion on them more. I think when I was younger, I was like, as soon as I got into music, I was listening to a lot of aggressive rap. And I think when my mates were listening to Pet Shop Boys, I was like, these are shit. And then as I've got older, I've been like, no, there's a lot of melody to a lot of their stuff. But yeah, I don't know their back catalogue at all, mate. I ain't going to lie.
Stu's browbeating me over the years with a lot of things. And it usually sends me the other way. Like, he just tried to ram R.E.M. down our throats for fucking years, like, you know, our sort of early teens and early 20s.
Yeah.
And he just put everyone else off them because he kept going on about them.
Brilliant
so much.
They were.
And
genius.
And every time you got in his car, he'd be playing you like 15 seconds of one song and 15 seconds of another. Fast forward it onto the next one.
No, it's this one.
The function only had fast forward on that cassette player in my car. Yeah.
Fast forward. All the way, turn it over.
It's weird as you start to get to the millennium, the fucking X Factor started, and then it just dominates, doesn't it? From fucking Girls Aloud to fucking Shane Ward, Leona Lewis, Leon Jackson, Alexandra Burke, Rage Against the Machine, Matt Cardle, fucking Sam Bailey, I don't know, Ben Haino, I presume he's an X Factor. I might have just been really offensive to him if he's not. But yeah, fucking that remake of Mad World that was in Donnie Darko, that was Christmas number one, wasn't it?
Did they have anything Gary to Jules. Do with that, though, or was that just a bit of an out of the bluer?
I think that was just a fucking random one, wasn't it? I think, like, I don't know if it was just because it was on Donnie Darko and radio picked up on it, I'm not sure.
Yeah. That was crazy. That was the birth of MySpace around then, wasn't it? I remember. Mm. Yeah.
There's an argument to say that there has maybe only been one or two good Christmas number ones since the 90s.
Mm.
I mean, actually, when you look back, 1989, Band-Aid, well, 1988, fucking, maybe the Pet Shop Boys was the last great Christmas number one. You, after that, you've got Mistletoe and Wine, the Stock Aitken and Waterman, Do They Know It's Christmas, fucking Saviour's Day, Bohemian Rhapsody because he died. Oh, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. I mean, you can't fucking argue with that, really. Mm. I don't like it, it's slop, but, you know, you can't argue with it, can you? Mr. Blobby, I'll stay Another Day. Props to that. Jackson's Earth Song, which is just fucking vile. Three Spice Girls, just fucking Get in the Bin. Westlife. Bob the Builder, fair play to him, he puts the shift in. And then probably, you know, the only good one this century, apart from Killing in the Name Of, which was, you know, a bit of an anomaly, is Girls Aloud, Sound of the Underground, which I think is reasonable.
It was right first tune, wasn't it? I've got to say it. I thought they came out pretty strong with that.
I like a few of theirs. I think they've got some crackers.
But, you know, when you think of the team they had behind it and the money that was fucking spent on it and the TV promotion they had before they like released the single.
8 weeks run up to it. But then that's it. Like you say, they'd found the secret dominating the charts. And I guess that's why, like, my favourite is probably the Rage Against the Machine one of recent times, just because of what it did. Just because it was a fuck you to basically what was happening to our charts and the destruction of them, really. And it still is now a bit weird. So, go on, shoot.
Well, I guess we just hope now that the what are they called? The crack pots?
The crack pots, yeah. Mm.
C-R-A-C-K.
No, it's with a K, remember?
Okay, right, okay. And you can find out about that at, was it borisjohnson.info?
No, it's... I'm gonna go on borisjohnson.info now and just send it to the crackpots to do them a favour.
Yeah, help your mates out again.
That's properchristmas.info. It's just an old-fashioned Christmas song.
Wonderful. And so it'll be on all the usual places. You can stream it on Spotify and you can buy it from wherever you buy your downloads.
Yeah, but Amazon, iTunes, it'll be on Spotify. And if you buy it as a download, that counts as much as 100 streams. If you're able to download it, please go and download it. All the links and that will be on properchristmas.info, apparently.
And that'll really help those guys out, won't it? So that's a really nice thing you're doing, cunt, honestly,
In a lot of ways, you know, it's not just about helping the crackpots out. It's about helping the country out because we've had some bleak times in the last few years, you know, just being force-fed. Like, we've all just been laying there with someone holding our mouths open, just getting teabagged with sausage rolls. And, you know, this is just something that's nice. It's a proper Christmas song.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love it. I can't wait to listen to it.
And I can't wait to see the video. When's the video out? What date?
The video will be out now by the time this podcast comes out and the single comes out on 8th of December.
Fantastic.
We'll have all the links in the episode information.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Wish the lads, if you see them, all the best. And
I wouldn't know them if I could walk past them in the street. I wouldn't know. No one knows.
No.
Right.
No one knows. Right.
How many are you in the crackpots?
Four.
Well, how many was in the cunts?
Hold on a minute. Me, Carsoll, Rubber Johnny.
Four.
Yeah.
Like I say, there's a lot of the Beatles had, you know.
Yeah, life would be weird if there were no coincidences.
Exactly.
Properchristmas.info.
.info.
Cheers, cunt.
Oh, cheers, cunt.
Cheers, Roy. Cheers, Chris.
It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.